First Peter 4, if you'd like to read along. First Peter 4. We're focusing on the gifts of officers in the Bible study, but this morning we need to also consider the gifts that every single individual in the church has, and that they all need to be used. It's interesting that Peter's verses about gifts and their employment in the life of the church comes in the midst of a passage on sanctification, about suffering in one's person, in growth and grace, and suffering under the sins of others. So gifts are to be used in the midst of suffering. Suffering and difficulty doesn't mean you're relieved from that privilege and duty, but that is just life. We are to discern, develop, and deploy our gifts in the midst of personal sanctification and corporate suffering. So hear God's word, 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, for speaking very clearly and specifically to your purposes and means and methods of redemption. Lord, please apply these things to our hearts. In our flesh and in the world, we are distracted and disabled. And so we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our minds, ears, hearts to receive your word, to believe it, and to commit ourselves to do it. Lord, do your work through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may think that elections call the officers who are elected to use their gifts, and that's true. You're recognizing gifts suitable for the various offices, and in electing them, you are calling them to use those gifts for your benefit. But it is also true, and necessarily, that when you vote for someone else to use their gifts, you are committing yourself to use your gifts. You're not just saying to the officers, here, you go and do the work. That when you give you point the finger to them, you have three fingers pointing back at you, saying you also need to identify your gifts and equip your gifts with skill and use your gifts for the good of the church. And so elections are not just about the officers. It's about the whole church being called to serve. In the first few months of this year, we are focusing our attention on electing elders and deacons. In the study this week, we consider the particular kinds of gifts that commend people for each of these offices. But this enterprise also reminds us that we each are gifted and called to serve in the body, if not in office, then in some other way. If you judge yourself gifted and called to office, make that known to the elders and/or the deacons and to the congregation in the upcoming discussions. If you judge yourself not gifted and called to office, your self-examination is not yet finished. You must do two things. First, discern how you can help and do that. And second, discern what you need and get that. These things are true not just of adults, but also of young people and even children. What can you do to be a blessing in the life and ministry of your congregation? It's not just the officers, it's everybody. It's not just the adults, it's everybody. Everybody is gifted and called to serve. You should consider your baptism as your ordination. It is your setting apart for service. Ordination has the imagery of oil set aside for that particular service, but baptism testifies to you that each and every one of you is gifted and called and set apart to serve one another in the church. Find a way to be an active part of the body. It's interesting that the scriptures, particularly in texts of gifts, speaks about the whole body. In 1 Corinthians 12, an extensive passage on gifts in the church. If the whole body were an eye. And so when we come to elections, we're not looking merely at parts. We're looking at the whole body. And elders and deacons are just some parts. But the elders and deacons are not the whole body. You can think of the elders as kind of the nervous system. You know, the elders have nervous system. But what is the nervous system? It communicates from the head, who's Christ, to the body parts. That's what the elders do. And if there's communication but no response in the muscles or the organs, the body will die. You can think of the deacons as the hands and feet of the congregation, or the elders as the root, the deacons as the fruit. You have a whole lot of other things going on between there. And if you only have a nervous system and hands and feet, you're dead. You're dead. If the whole body were an eye. And so the eye is not the whole body. In Ephesians 4:16, from whom, that is Christ, the whole body being fitted and held together. And so we need to think, not even in the circumstances, especially in the circumstances of election, not just of these particular parts, but of the whole body, and therefore of every part. Passage that we read in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, not just elders, not just deacons, but each and every single person has received a gift. That, it is each part that makes up the whole. And so elders and deacons need to get about their work, but also you need to get about your work, whatever that is. 1 Corinthians 12 is working with the parts and the whole, the parts and the whole. Yes, there are various parts, but it is for the purpose of an integrated whole. It is not parts for the purpose of each one doing their own thing in their own place, but it is parts for the purpose of each one doing their thing for the others in order to knit together in a integrated and coordinated whole. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of ministries, same Lord, varieties of effects, but the same God. Parts in whole. Ephesians 4:16 again. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. There cannot be wholeness or health unless every single part is working well. If your respiratory system is working well, but your circulatory system is shutting down, the whole body suffers. And just one breakdown in any part of the body and the whole, everything has to be working well for the whole body to be healthy, growing, and multiplying. And so it's not just the nervous system or the hands and feet. It's the whole body, which means you. Every single one of you, old and young, male and female, officers, members. And we should observe that the offices are for the sake of the parts. In Ephesians 4:11, he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Notice, it doesn't say that he gave these offices for the work of service. He gave these offices for equipping the saints for the work of service. Your elders and deacons are called to enable you to do your work, to enlist your help. And so they're not supposed to do the work so that you don't have to. They're to do the work so that you can do yours. That's the point. Election is not you elect somebody else to go and do your duty. You elect someone who's going to help you do your duty. That's what you're looking at. Do you really want this person to be the one who's going to help you do your duty? Section 3, Roman numeral 3. Statement made in Romans 11 that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, and the point that for our purpose is that these two things go together, gifts and calling. You know what your gifts are by what needs to be done that highlights what you're able to do. You know what your calling is by recognizing what you are good at, what you want to do, what you like to do, what you're successful in. And so these things always go together, gifts and calling, calling and gifts. So you have people like Bezalel and Aholiab, and these are two guys that did a lot of the artistic and craft work for the tabernacle at the time of Moses. And God says that he gave them ability and skill in these various crafts and disciplines. And it also says that God gave this ability on their heart, not just in their head or their hands, but he gave this ability on their heart, so not only were they able to do it, they loved to do it. And one of the ways you know what you're called to do is that you just love doing it. And I've seen a lot of nodding heads of people who know what their gift is and know what they're good at and know what they love to do. And sometimes I got a lot of more bobbleheads, you know. Yeah, there it goes. Everybody's bobblehead now. But that's exactly right. You know what you're good at. You know what you love to do. And that's what you will be called upon to do. And so, Bezalel and Aholiab, they were skillful. They loved doing this, and therefore God called on them through Moses to do this work. And that's how you know what you should be doing. What you're able to do, what you love to do, and what you're called upon to do. Nobody takes the honors of elder or deacon on themselves. They don't say, oh, I'm going to be an elder. The congregation has to elect them, and the elders have to be willing to ordain them. And so there's a call from God through the congregation. It gives you the opportunity to serve in the ways that you do. So we've been focusing on elders and deacons, and there is this basic division that I think is very helpful for all of us in discerning our general area of gift and call. Elders give instruction and discipline with spiritual wisdom. You can look at 1 Timothy 5:17. Let all elders, all those who rule, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who give themselves or called to teaching and preaching. The deacons collect and distribute. Instruction, discipline, collect and distribute are the two pairs for each. And we saw that particularly at the end of Acts 4 with Barnabas and the collecting of the things that were given from those who had extra and the distribution to those who had need. There shall be no poor among you because the people of God will meet the needs of them. The poor shall always be there. Their needs will always be met. And so there'll be no poor among you. So it seems that there is not just in the offices, but generally a basic division of gifting between the gifts of the elders and the gifts of the diaconate. And I think this is what we see in 1 Peter 4. He says, as each one has received a special gift, and then verse 11, whoever speaks, and so forth, and then whoever serves. This isn't speaking about offices. This is speaking about the whole church as each one has received a special gift. And the gifts of God, though they are listed out in particulars in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, in 1 Peter 4, it refers to two basic divisions of word gifts and work gifts. And we shouldn't be surprised because we see these things paired in the scriptures all the time. And so one way of beginning to discern what God has gifted you to do is to ask yourself the question, are your gifts word gifts or work gifts? Now, many people are gifted in both, but usually one gift predominates. It's like the SATs. You have the verbal and the math. Some very annoying people do extremely well in both. But for most of us, we're better at one than the other. And that's the kind of distinction that I think is being dealt with here. It's striking in Romans chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, how this pairing shows up. Romans 12, 7. If service in his serving, a work gift, he who teaches in his teaching, a word gift, there's a pair. He who exhorts, a word gift. He who gives, a work gift, with liberality. He who leads, a word gift, with diligence. He who shows mercy, a work gift, with cheerfulness. They're set in pairs all the way through these two verses. And it simply establishes this basic distinction among various kinds of gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, which is the summary of the passage on the body and the various gifts for one body, Paul lists various gifts earlier that don't evidence a particular split, although they do tend to go from word to work gifts, but especially at the end, you have word to work gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, then, so those are all word gifts, miracles, healings, helps, administrations, tongues, ends with tongues. And tongues really, though they are somewhat verbal, they're actually a work gift because they're a sign. So it goes from word gifts to work gifts, and the word gifts equip the work gifts. So there's a basic distinction. There's a necessary pairing. They should always be together, and one leads to the other. And so these two categories are very significant for discerning your own giftedness. Let's work this out a little bit. We're in section 3, items C, 1 and 2. Word gifts. Word gifts involves speaking. He who speaks in 1 Peter 4. Speaking involves words and ideas, discussing and deliberating like Acts 15, leading in the sense of discerning and setting a vision, and also teaching and correcting. Work gifts involve counting or numbers. Are you a word guy or a number person? Now, again, some people are both, but usually there's you have your right hand or your left hand stronger, right? Some people are ambidextrous, but there's usually one that predominates. Work gifts, a number person, someone given to action, someone given to doing, someone given to managing, someone given to collecting and dispersing. Then go through these same lists in parallel to each other. Speaking as opposed to counting, words as opposed to numbers, ideas as contrasted with actions, discussing as contrasted with doing, leading by vision in contrast with managing. There is a very big difference between the entrepreneur and the manager. Someone who has an idea and gets things going, and someone else who comes and works all that out. Very often, entrepreneurs are not good managers, and managers are not good entrepreneurs. There is a distinction of gifts. And it's important for us to realize what we're good at, what we're called to, so that we give ourselves to that. The entrepreneur, the best thing you can do, get a business started, sell it for big bucks, and go get something else started. I always say I'm very good at starting trouble, but not so good at getting it finished. So I'd be in the first group there, the vision. Let's do this. Okay, you do that. And then teaching and correcting as distinct from collecting and distributing. I hope you're getting a sense that these are different categories of things. They're different kinds of things. But they are things that are interdependent. And not one can be there without the other. They both go together. And so item D, we must have the whole body with every part. We need both kinds of gifts together, word gifts and work gifts, elders and deacons, and those members who are word gifted and work gifted. We need both categories, both kinds together. They are distinct. There is this basic variety, but it is two parts of a whole, not two different things. It's especially important that we respect people with other gifts. It is often the case that people who are gifted with words despise people who are gifted with numbers. And people who are gifted with numbers despise people who are gifted with words. The physicists think the creative writers are a waste of humanity. And the creative writers think the physicists are geeks. It ought not to be that way. We need each other, and we must serve each other. The physicists help you make a living. The creative writer helps you get a life. These things go together. We need both together, and so you have 1 Peter 4:10. As each one is received, whoever speaks, whoever serves. These things go together for the benefit of the whole body, elders and deacons. And it really also is reflected in faith and works in James 2. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. If someone has a righteous life but denies Christ, will that save them? Of course not. If someone professes faith in Christ and yet their life is characterized by unrepentant disobedience, well, are they saved? No. Both things have to go together. Faith and works. Faith issues in works. Works don't save except as they come out of faith and are a proof of that. And so also works alone in the church are not enough. And there are certain branches of Christianity that are so given to works that there is no word there. And the works are cut off from the gospel. But there are also certain branches of Christianity where there is only the word and the concern with purity of doctrine, and there is no work. And that is not Christian. We must have both to be a true body of Christ. And we need all these gifts together. Ephesians 4:16 is just a central text for this concern. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. How does a church enjoy unity? It isn't so much that everybody finds a way to get along by a race to the bottom of the lowest common denominator. A church enjoys unity where every single person identifies their gift and uses it in serving one another. That's what draws us together. I give what I have that you need. You give what you have that I need. And it draws us together in Christ. And that's what Christian unity is. Each person using their gift and fulfilling their calling. Being fitted and held together what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Not the proper working of the elders and deacons. Our church is so bad because our elders and deacons don't do their job. That may be true, but it's not the whole story. And it isn't true. The proper working of each individual part, that means you must work. You must contribute your gifts for the benefit of others in the church. And this causes the growth, health, and multiplication of the body. So, Roman numeral 4. Discern what your gifts are and connect with others in the church who need your gifts. Now, you figure out what your gift is, what you're good at. If you love to cook, you look for hungry people. If you're hungry, you look for the cooks. That's how we get tied together. You know what you can do and you look for people who need it. Connect with them. But I would also suggest that as you examine yourself and discern the category of gift that God has given you, whether it's word gifts or work gifts, that you also connect with those officers of that gift. If you enjoy word gifts, tell the elders so that they are aware of that and can seek your help with various things that they're doing. If you discern that your primary gifting is work gifts, you should make that known to the deacons so that they may also enlist your gifts in their work. So connect your gift with others' needs, but also connect your gifting with those officers who are gifted in the same kind. Don't wait for your officers to figure it out. Go to them. Tell them, this is what I can do. This is my general area of gifting. Let me know how I can help you. And then devote yourself to doing those things. The first thing under this category is constantly get equipped, go serve. Here too, we seem to have a split. There are those people who love to get equipped and never go serve. And those people who love to serve and never get equipped. And sometimes do more damage than good. The ideal is to do both. And there is, if someone is converted, a basic equipping that they can go and serve in truth and righteousness. But the Christian life is one of continuing education. You get equipped and you go serve, and you get equipped some more, you go serve some more. And this constant preparing. And so this is what the logic is in Ephesians 4. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints. The teaching and preaching ministry of the church is for your equipping for your service. So avail yourself of the teaching and preaching, because whatever your gifts are, word or work, it is the teaching and preaching that equips you to do the things that you're called to do. Kevin mentioned it earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the usefulness of the word. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, male or female, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The equipping of your gifts is the Spirit speaking through the Word of God, with the sacraments and prayer in fellowship. Get equipped, go serve. Secondly, gifts are given to be shared. Gifts are not given, as the Corinthians seem to have thought, for their private enjoyment. They had the gift of tongues, and they just enjoyed this for their own edification, and they were not concerned with their tongues being translated for the benefit of the whole body. And Paul is saying, gifts are for the purpose of blessing the whole body, not just the part of the body that is gifted. So, in Ephesians 4:16, by what every joint supplies to others. And you go just a little bit farther on in Ephesians 4, Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have a lot to enjoy. Is that what it says? So that he will have something to share with him who has need. The gift of abundance is for sharing. The reason why you have more than you need of anything is that God has given that gift to you in order to share it with those people who need what you have. Abundance is not for the purpose of hoarding. And many Christian lives are like the TV show. You go into their lives, figuratively speaking, and they're hoarding all of their gifts. They're enjoying them themselves, but they have so much that they haven't shared, they're tripping over it. And it's ruining their lives. Your abundance is God's gift to you to share. Most of what you have, God has given you for someone else. Amen. Not for your own indulgence or mere enjoyment. Amen. Don't be like the rich man and the rich fool in Luke 21. He had an abundance. And what he should have done is engage in trade. Sell and buy. Give and receive. But instead, he took his abundance, tore down his barns, built bigger ones so he could keep all of his gifts. And the result was all of his gifts were taken away. All of them were taken away. Because he died. And now nobody enjoyed his gifts. Or he didn't enjoy his gifts. Gifts are given to be shared. Thirdly, be content with your gifts. The first thing here is, gifts are not wages. Whatever you're good at, you didn't make yourself good at. You may, by God's grace, have equipped yourself with skill. But your basic abilities are endowments from God. Are gifts from Christ. Jesus doesn't say to all of his people, okay, here are a list of 24 gifts, pick what you want. In some pre-incarnate spirit, we picked out what our gifts were and picked out our DNA and voila, we're born. And most of us, if we're honest, really want a different set of gifts. I wish I were fill in the blank. And we despise what Christ has given us, and we desire something else, and we pursue other gifting, while our real gifts go to waste. It's a plot and a scheme of the devil to get you desiring something other than what you are gifted and called to. Unfortunately, the quote is from Oscar Wilde, but it is a good quote. And he said this, "Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken." Isn't that true? The body in every Christian congregation is a puzzle. And we are given a certain configuration in order to fit in a certain place. And it is vain and pointless and self-destructive to desire to be a different piece in the puzzle. One time I got sick at Synod. And when I was young, my mother was an RN, and I wanted, quote-unquote, to be a physician. I was no more gifted to be a physician than a monkey in a tree. And so I pursued this, and it was a bad story, and God turned me around and made me bark up the right tree. So this guy, this physician, a member of Synod, comes in to examine me and take care of me. And I'm thinking, man, you know, this is what I wanted to be when I grew up, and it just didn't work out. And we're talking, this is actually hard to talk about, we're talking, and he went into the story of how he longed and labored and prayed and pursued that he would be able to be a pastor. What a two stupid people. I'm sitting there, a pastor wanted to be a physician, and he's standing there, a physician, and he wanted to be a pastor. It's perverse. Be what God called you to be. Another time I was at, this is recently, I was at a seminary board meeting, and sitting next to me was a rather younger man, but then most are now, a younger man who is just brilliant. In 1976, there was a national conference, and I was a youth counselor, and this kid was in my group, and he was kind of socially awkward, and so he hung with me all the time, like a lost puppy. And it took me about a half hour to realize this kid was absolutely brilliant. He wrote his PhD thesis and was granted a PhD from one university, and another university read the thesis and gave him another PhD because it was so good. That's how brilliant this guy is. And so he's sitting at this meeting, and I've known him pretty well, but I didn't know this. He's sitting at this meeting at a break, and he's telling me the story of his brokenheartedness, that his parents longed for him, and he did everything in his power that he would be able to become a pastor. Most pastors would give their right arm to teach in a university. And this guy wanted to be a pastor. What's wrong with you? And he couldn't do it. And his wife said, not a good idea. And his wife is also a brilliant physicist. These people are just scary smart. And so whatever you are, somebody else wants to be. And whatever you want to be instead, somebody else already is. God gave you the gifts you have. Be thankful for them. Become equipped with them and use them in thanksgiving to God. Be yourself in the sense that be whom God made you to be. Not somebody else. It's good being green. No, Kermit the Frog? Okay, never mind. It'd take me another 10 minutes to explain it. Now that is not aged out. That clearly is still part of the culture. So, all right, last thing. Give account with joy. Your gifts that God has given you to use for the benefit of others in the church are His gifts to you. It's His stuff. And He's going to ask you at the day of judgment, what did you do with my stuff? And I'm thinking of Matthew 25, the talents. And even though the talents refer to money, the application to gifts of ability to do things is completely right. And so whatever gifts God has given you, word gifts or work gifts, and whatever variety in each category, whatever God has given you, you are a steward of those things, and you will give account to the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment for what you did with His stuff. And if you have left your gifts unused to the detriment of your own soul and the hurt of the people of God, you will answer for that, and you will suffer loss in heaven if you don't use your gifts. This isn't a matter of discretion of, well, maybe I'll use my gifts or maybe I won't. You know, I just don't feel like it today. I don't wanna. It's not that. You're like the Blues Brothers. You're on a mission from God, and you've been given gifts for that mission. Whether you choose to do it or not, like Mission Impossible, you are given, you are called, you are gifted. And you will give an account for your use of your gifts, your use of Christ's gifts in His church. The point of all of this is that you would use this election season to discern, develop, and deploy your gifts in the life and ministry of your congregation, not just the gifts of officers. Do not just discern and deploy gifts of new officers, but discern and deploy your own gifts. And let your ordination remind you of your baptism, in which you are set aside for service. If you are not called to office, what are you called to? How do you fit into the life and ministry of your congregation, both in terms of what you have to give and what you need to receive? What can you do to help your congregation? Do it. What can your congregation do to help you? Ask for it. Don't leave the work to your officers and then criticize them when they fall short. They are not called to do all the work. They are called to equip you so that you can do your work in the life and ministry of your congregation. Your participation in the life and ministry of your congregation is an indication and proof of your participation in Christ. To the degree that you participate in the life and ministry of the congregation, giving and receiving, to that degree you participate in Christ. And if you don't participate in the congregation, giving and receiving, there is no evidence that you participate in the benefits of Christ. That's how significant it is. You cannot be a part of Christ and be apart from his body in function, not just showing up, but doing good for the benefit of others. That's participation. That's membership. Something in the body that does not give and receive with it is a tumor, not a part of the body. Are you a body part or are you a tumor? And if you're a tumor, you're in danger of becoming malignant and destroying the body. Don't get cable. Don't be a tumor. Be a body part. By the Spirit of God, discern his gifts to you, develop them into skillfulness, and deploy them in faithfulness and for fruitfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have established officers in the church to lead us in the exercise of words and works in the full complement of being a congregation. Lord, we thank you for this strong reminder from the Scriptures that you've called all of us, each of us, to participate in these things, to discern what category we are most prominently gifted in and to get to work in these things. So, Lord, please help each of us to be a real part of the body and to contribute in the ways in which you've gifted us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.